I wanted to stand and say how good it is to be here and what a blessing it is. That it's a blessing I don't want to take for granted and get used to being here every week. Some people might say, I have to go to church every week. I have to go to church two or three times a week. You know what? I get to go to church two or three times a week. Isn't that good? Some people don't have an opportunity to feel what we feel here today. And sometimes it's overwhelming, and in some ways it's easy to forget how blessed we are, and how what an amazing chance we have to be part of God's people and to feel the love that we feel here and to be a part of God's work. I went to the convention center meeting here a while back. About a week ago, and it was a good meeting. I enjoyed the spirit I felt there. There's just something about when God's people come together in unity, with a common bond. There you go. They all come together looking for the same thing, looking to get closer to God. And it's been my experience watching that God blesses that when people are in unity in Him and when people pray together and are in one spirit. And the youth sang a certain song while I was there. It said something about when I'm being tempted, Lord, I need to feel Your Spirit so I can resist that temptation. And I was thinking about that when I got back, and I thought, you know, there are times when I feel like I'm on top of the world as far as my walk with God is concerned. I love the feeling of being here and having brothers and sisters that I can go to and having a good time praising God and being a part of that, and I get to feeling, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty happy with myself. But I don't want to forget that in my walk with God, eventually I'm going to reach the top of the mountain. When I'm in top of the mountain, it doesn't matter which direction I go. Eventually, I'm going to end up back in the valley. And when that time comes, when I'm in the valley, I want to remember before I reach that valley, I want to remember that no matter how close I get to God, I can always get closer. There's always room to get closer, and that's why we're here. That's our main purpose. We're here to get closer to God and to be what He wants, become what He wants us to be. And there's so much more to it than what we see with our own eyes, and we can't comprehend what he wants for us ultimately. And I don't want to forget that. I want to remember that no matter how good I feel, no matter how good I think I'm doing, that there are going to be times when it's going to be difficult, and I'm not going to feel so good about myself. I'm going to be discouraged. I may feel like giving up sometimes, but if I hold on to God and if I hold on to Him even when I'm doing good, and I tell Him, Lord, just keep me in Your will, just help me remember when times come and it gets difficult, and when I have difficulty holding on to You, Lord, please hold on to me during those times. Don't let me slip away from You. Help me to stay in Your way, in Your will, on Your path where You want me to go. And I just felt like sharing that today. I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. I'm very blessed to be a part of this church, a part of this body, and I want each and every one of you to know that I love you, and I care for you, and I pray for you. I want to see us get to a place, ultimately, where God wants us to be. I'm thankful for y'all. Thank you.
Well, I know one thing, I'm not on top of the world right now, but I feel like I'm actually under the ground right now, which, I'm alive, but based on what the mechanic who's been working on cars for 40 some odd years, he's saying I should be about 6 feet under right now. So, I mean, happy to be alive, that's for sure. For those of you who don't know, I was in an accident, car accident. That's why I'm having to wear this back brace. 6 to 8 weeks, but hey, still here. Usually I'm a kind of, this is, for those of y'all who know me, I do not like getting up. I just, this is out of my comfort zone even right now, so happy to be here. Let's get this party started.
Well, it sure is good to see DJ back. It's been a couple weeks since, but I'm glad you're doing okay, DJ. It's also good to see the Coles here. Almost a regular. It's almost kind of like you come a couple times, you're almost not a visitor anymore. That's kind of how they are. Well, I'm thankful to be here tonight. I miss a week at church, and you never know what you miss until you don't have it. And you don't go to church for a week, you start missing it, and you start thinking in your mind, you get down like, oh, I mean, a week off church would be nice just to relax, not do anything. And you get that week off church like, man, I'm ready to go back. It's kind of like, I was that way about work, too. So about the second day out of North Carolina, I was like, man, I'm ready to get back to work. I'm tired of sitting around. I'm ready to do something. But I am thankful to be here tonight and just say I'm glad for all y'all. I'm glad to see y'all. I'm glad y'all. Thank you for all y'all's prayers, and we really do appreciate y'all's cards and everything. I didn't know how many people were thinking about it. People I didn't even know sending us cards. Like, who's this? I don't know who these people are sending me letters and cards. But thank you. We really do appreciate it. I was doing a lot of thinking about being called and being different, because we went to the funeral was at Brother LaFleur's church, and you know he's not in the body anymore. But, you know, he's still seeing that spirit that they had. He took us aside and talked to us and everything, seeing that influenced the body on him. And even though he had fallen away, that he still, those the boys of the body still affected him. You can still feel a little bit of that. I felt comfortable around him. I felt good to say, this, he's not with us any longer, but I'm thankful that my grandparents, Jacksonville, North Carolina, I mean, come on, that's kind of just a shot in the dark for church. That of all the places they moved to a place, the body church, and that just kind of fell upon it. That's how my mom got in the body, and that's, I'm thankful for that funeral. It was a good, as kind of a opposite, it's a good funeral, but but it was a good funeral. It was short, it was sweet, it was, to me, funerals and weddings should be short. I think anything after that, you start putting people to sleep, and they just want to leave. But that's just me. And he kept it short and sweet, and I'm thankful for that. But it got me to thinking of being a part of the body. You know, sometimes a body part you don't need anymore. You get Brother LaFleur, he lost a leg, I guess, to diabetes. And how parts you don't need go away, and got me to thinking about how we be a part, how we're called. And I started thinking about Gideon. I mean, you know what he was doing when God called him? He was hiding food. And you know what? And I don't know about y'all, but God called him. I was trying to hide my pizza, and he said, here, go fight the boys who are coming after you. I was like, I don't think so. I don't keep hiding my pizza. I like pepperonis. But then I started thinking, when he came today, thinking, you know what? He fell on the rock. As Jody said, you know what? He was in that point of desperation where he said, you know what? I'm tired of hiding food. You know, sometimes you got to throw away your old man and become and start doing things God wants you to do. And got me to thinking about, I mean, all the times Esther. I mean, she didn't want to be queen. She was complacent being a Jew. And that's where I think that's something me personally need to work on is being complacent and not trying to work more in the church, try to do more. I don't want to be sitting in the back, sitting there just kind of listening. And, you know, listening's good, but sometimes you got to get out and run. Sometimes you got to get out and step out and be a part of the church. And started me thinking about endurance. You know, I used to be a sprinter. I wasn't an endurance runner. You know, you got a 30-inch inseam. you don't do good with the 800-meter dash. It's not really much of a dash. I was more of a 100-meter band. I started thinking, and you start running, you start, oh, yeah, you're doing pretty good. And you kind of space it out a little bit. You don't want to burn out quick. I know watching Jaron, he ran the 800-meter last year. You know, watching him run, you know, if you don't know anybody, you'll just go out there full blast, and first time you get around the track, your legs are blown. You know, spacing it out a little bit, being endurance, you know, it takes some thinking about it, it takes some getting used to. I don't want to be burnt out quick, and I've said that before about our youth things. I don't want to be burnt out quick. You know, you go home, and, oh, man, I'm so on fire, God. I'm so on fire for God. And then you start going back to school, you get back to work, you know what, you burn out. I don't want to be that way. I want to have endurance. I want to run this race to the fullest of my ability. You know what? Sometimes you ain't the hare when you run as fast as you quick. Sometimes you're going to be that tortoise running real slow. But you ain't going nowhere real fast. But, man, you're just going to keep on moving. Keep on moving a little bit at a time. No, I want to keep on moving in this. We got something special here. You know, go to North Carolina. You know, that's something special that you can go all the way to Jacksonville, North Carolina, Camp Lejeune, a Marine base, you know, and still find people of God. You know what? They're not in the body of Christ, but you know what? They're still my brothers and sisters. We are, our eyes are going, are pointing the same way. Our hands, we look at the same God. And you know what? Sometimes we don't always agree on things. I don't agree with people all the time with people in this church. I don't agree with the stuff I say. I kind of talk to myself. you know you're a whiner. You know you don't agree with yourself sitting there talking to yourself. Because that's the only good conversation I have all day. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, I lost my train of thought there. You know, sometimes you got to think, you know what, run this race. You got to space it out a little bit. And I started thinking, I mean, Sister Jody's songs to me really touch base between this morning, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Hear My Humble Cry. And what was that first song you sung tonight? Can you put those words up there for me, please? Of Here I Am, Lord, Please Use Me. Y'all look nice today, by the way, while we're waiting. But anyways, Lord, please, there we go. Lord, please use me. Don't pass me back. Make my life a vessel of honor. Have you ever tried, I know I tried my hand at pottery once at school, and you know, have you ever tried to make something without water? You try making that pottery wheel, it can't do it. You got to keep splashing water up there. And sometimes to shape it, you got to be splashing this good spirit of life, the spirit of God, to get shaped in that vessel of honor. And then I fall on the rock crying, Lord, here am I. You know, sometimes when you're tired and you're weary from that race, you know, this is a race, a rat race sometimes. You go to work and everything, and you know, you get burned out and say, Lord, here am I. You know what? If you don't cry, Lord, here am I, do you really expect Him to come for you? When I get tired from home from work and say I'm hungry, do you expect somebody to feed me if I don't say, hey, I'm hungry? No, sometimes you got to reach out your hand and say, Lord, here I am. Take me. Lift me up to a higher place. You know, Brother Phil talked to us tonight and this morning in Bible study, how he came to church Wednesday night. I'm not trying to steal your testimony, but how he didn't feel like he wanted to be here. I get that way sometimes too, especially on Wednesday nights. It works on you. But you know what? And you stay here for a little bit. He's like, man, I'm glad I didn't stay home. I'm glad saying, Lord, here I am. Sometimes you got to fall on that rock. No, that rock ain't soft. That's why it's a rock. You got to fall on it and say, Lord, here am I. Lord, please use me. Don't pass me by. Pass me not. I don't want to be left in the dust. I want to keep going in this race. You know, sometimes, you know, watching the Tour de France. Hey, Tour de France. That's like I'm French. Tour de France. Excuse me. But you know what? You got people in the back. You got stragglers. And you know, they stay in the group. It's called the peloton. And that's how they keep up with you. These long races, 150 miles through the Alps. That's how they keep up with you. They stay together. They call it drafting. You know, sometimes you get a strong rider, you get somebody in behind them. They do it in NASCAR, too. And you get behind them, and you kind of help you along. You know what? Sometimes you got to leapfrog in front of them and help them along, too. You got to raise up their hands. And that's what I want to do. I want to raise up y'all's hands. When y'all need me, raise up your hands. You know, when you need God, raise up your hands. You know what? You need to push for Him. If you just sat there with your hands in your lap, which I am prone to do, that you're not going to get full. You got to step out in that faith. You know, when Jesus was talking to Peter in the water, and he says, take a step of faith. Right. You know, he wouldn't have tested that faith if he wouldn't have stepped out. You know, with that water wouldn't have been there. I mean, oh, yes, boats. That's what you got thinking of people who go skydiving. Like, this is a perfectly good boat. Why should I step out of it? It's a perfectly good plane. Why should I jump out of it? You know, it takes that step of faith, though. That parachute's going to fly when you pull on that ripcord. And sometimes you got to step out in that faith. You know what, God? Like tonight, I stepped out in faith. I had nothing to say. But you know, I stepped out in faith, and I want to say, God, if anything, I just want to say how thankful I am for all of you. I say how thankful I am for him, and how I can lift up y'all's hands when y'all need me. I'm thankful to be here tonight.
Well, I jumped out of a perfectly good chair, if that counts. It's a comfortable chair, too. But, when we were singing the song, you know, Lord, here I am, please use me, it, a thought came to mind that, it says, Lord, please use me, and, you know, make me a vessel of honor. And not all vessels are the same. They're not all used in the same way, and they don't all have the same shape, yet they all still serve a purpose in their particular place, whether it's, you know, playing music, preaching, singing, or just sitting down in the congregation and being supportive and testifying and raising your hands. It's all an important job, no matter how much, how small or insignificant you may feel it may be. You know, you need every vein in your body, whether it's just the little ones in your hands or the major ones in your heart. And I had a train of thought going, and then it does take time, and it is a process that we have to go, and it does take time, and before you can become the vessel, you have to make up your mind. And there's a poem that, remember, Nana used to say a lot in church. It was about a potter and a vessel that the potter was trying to make, and that it, every time that it hit the potter. Every time the potter would try and mold the clay, it would start to get the shape, and then as soon as it would come just about where it needed to be, it would fall apart again, and it wouldn't stay. And the vessel got to noticing that other vessels were passing it by, and that they were going into the kiln and becoming vessels of honor, and finally the potter said, I've done all I can do. After it had been in the kiln several times, it had been broken and remade, after it had the process put to it, and set it on a shelf, and the vessel didn't realize that that was not the place it needed to be. So at the end of the day, the potter looked at his work and realized that he was one vessel short, and he was out of clay. And he took that vessel off the top shelf, broke it down, and remade it. And at the end of the story, the vessel is in the king's house, in one of the best places it could be. But it had to commit to staying through the fire. It had to commit to paying the price, and rather, to give up some things, the price is small, and for others, the price is great. But at the end of the day, it is worth it, because I have made up my mind. I like to think I've counted the cost, and I know I must go on.
Long, but you may have already heard it before, but It's called The Potter's Fire. It says, "In joy I remember the potter's first touch. I was young at the time, but his presence meant much. But the clay I was formed of was stubborn and stiff. But I thought I was good clay. He'll be done in a jiff. Through most of the night he worked with my clay, forming and shaping, but I would not stay. A little more water and working it deep, he again formed that shape that I would not keep. Slowly he straightened and set me aside. He knows I'm perfect, inside me I cried. I thought I was special, why he'd set me alone, high on a shelf that was mine all alone. As he worked with the others, I lived in my cloud, and he set them lower, I stood there so proud. Then taking the others, he opened the door, and placing them inside, he went back for more. Then counting, he said, I'm short only one, and my work must be finished before morning sun. Quickly he looked to his clay bowl so bare, then slowly he turned and gave me a long stare. I stood there so haughty, I knew he would come. I was that special one he had done. He picked me down gently and looking me o'er, he shook his head slowly, then opened the door. Why, hundreds of others, we all looked the same. Then the heat came on quickly, I screamed out in pain. Heat, white hot with flames rising high. The others stood watching, but I started to cry. I looked for the potter with eyes full of tears. Why can't he see me? Why isn't he here? Fear swallowed me up like dark in a cape. I could think of but one thing, and that was escape. Squirming and turning, no more could I take. I felt myself falling. I heard something break. When I woke, I was sitting alone on that shelf, where I thought to be special, so proud of myself. I'm all right, I cried out, to suddenly stop. A long, jagged crack ran from bottom to top. I was perfect, I thought I was the best, 'cause he'd taken more time with me than the rest. I tried to call out, but my voice wasn't clear, so distorted and weak that he couldn't hear. He looked not around, he never looked higher, than to see all the others that still stood in the fire. How could they stand it down there in that keel, to take all that heat and stay perfectly still? I heard him exclaim and give a great shout, and raising his hand, he turned the flame out. Then the oven door opened and I saw them again. They stood there in beauty who started so plain. The fire had done it, I now understood, that the heat I had fled from was just for my good. But too late for me, I was broken and marred. My own will had set up and left me too hard. The potter kept searching as he muttered low, I'm all out of clay and there's one more to go. Then he looked over to where I still lay, and shaking his head, he started my way. Quickly he walked to where he'd put me down. He picked me up gently, then looked all around. As he held me, I cried out with all of my soul, Potter, don't scrap me, make me again whole. Then smiling he took, and he broke me apart, and back toward the potter's wheel I saw him start. Then slowly and surely he softened the clay, and working with water kneaded the stiffness away. On the wheel where he'd placed me I held very still, as deftly he worked and shaped me to his will. As he worked on, his eyes shone and his touch was so cool, so intensely he watched as I turned on his tool. Suddenly his shaping had come to an end, and I knew that the real test was about to begin. This was the test I had failed once before, and my heart almost stopped as he opened the door. Then setting me gently, he turned on the fire, and watching me closer, he turned it up higher. He stood watching closely to see how I would fare, but this time I took it. I knew he was there. And as the heat tempered me there in that keel, he knew I had yielded to his perfect will. A little while longer in heat like the sun, I heard him exclaim, and then you'll be done. When the heat died, I knew it was o'er. I stood there rejoicing and watching the door. Quickly it opened and his hand I could see, and grasping me firmly, he lifted me free. He turned me and squeezed me and struck me as well, but the sound I gave off was clear as a bell. He placed me with others who had passed his inspection, who had come just as I had, through the fire to perfection. And as he placed me with others who had waited so long, from thousands of voices there burst a new song. It's what they'll be used for that's caused them to sing. They are vessels of honor in the house of the King.
like to thank the Lord for keeping his hand on my wife and the liberty that we have to trust him in all things. I want to thank all y'all for your prayers and kind words and visits, flowers and such. It's a wonderful place that we find ourselves in the body of Christ, and the gentleness that we have with each other, the love and affection that we share. I was pleased yesterday to have been with the youth group while they were at the air show, and it was a relaxed group. That's a good way to put it. They seemed comfortable with each other and enjoyed the fellowship of one another. It's meaningful for all of us to appreciate where we are and who we're with, our brothers and our sisters. This is our family, and you know, the circumstances of life may cause us to waver or cause our foundation to shake. But most importantly, when we put our trust in the Lord, then we know that He'll supply. He'll supply all of our needs, the Bible says, according to His riches and glory. And even as a young person, as a middle-aged person, as an older person, the one thing about trusting God never changes. You can trust Him. You always can. And He will never fail you. He will never let you down. And you know, it's amazing. It's amazing to me that I can run to God in the midst of the greatest turmoil in my life, and He'll still be there. He's a mighty God, isn't He?
Praise God.
Glory. And so I am thankful tonight. I'm thankful that I'm in the body of Christ. I'm thankful for this setting that we have here. I grew up in a church that not only didn't have local youth meetings, there wasn't any encouragement there, but they didn't even believe in going to regional or Body of Christ youth meetings. And this may sound like I'm lecturing, and I don't intend to come across that way, but for all of you young people to have this setting tonight, I hope you grow to appreciate how precious it is. There are a lot of young people in the body of Christ that don't have the fellowship that you have tonight and these good words that you've already heard. I want to encourage you to take advantage of it, to use this moment to grow and spread your wings a little bit and feel the Lord. You know, I appreciate what Jaron said. You did jump out of a perfectly good chair. And it's important to have courage. Take that step. God will meet you halfway. He'll meet you. He'll make up the difference. You reach out your hand, He'll reach His hand back to you. And as I said before, you can always run to Him, even in your greatest turmoil, and you will find Him.
only in the flames when you're counting days of pain. But the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel till there's submission to his will. He's planned a beautiful design, but it'll take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, 'cause the potter knows the clay. Friend, I just came through that fire not too very long ago, and looking back I can see why, and that my God was in control. On the hottest days I'd cry, oh Lord, isn't it about time? But the potter knows the clay and how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel till there's submission to his will. It's getting hard to stand the heat, but even harder is the wondering, is God's hand still on me? It's lonely in the flames when you're counting days of pain. Potter knows the clay and how much pressure you can take, how many times around the wheel till you're submission to his. Too very long ago, and looking back I can see why, and that my God was in control. On the hardest days I'd cry, oh Lord, isn't it about pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel till there's submission to his will.
Because the Father knows the knows the clay.
This is young people tonight, and I honor them because you can look at them and see God is really in their lives. They really are. But I guess I wanted to say something on another note that I, when she was singing that song or something, and sometimes I wonder, me as, you know, letting God putting me on a potter's wheel, I think sometimes, can I really take where he's put me? And, you know, I'll tell you a little bit of story, but in other words, there's about 65,000 of grandparents that are keeping their children for their grandchildren for whatever reason. Some of it is because of drugs. Some of it is because of irresponsibility. And some of it is because they get into trouble and they lose their children. And we, in a way, I say we've had the fortunate opportunity of taking care of our grandchildren. And I do not shirk from that. And I guess the reason why is because a few days ago, I think Governor Beebe said, not that it really mattered, but he declared Grandparents Day. And the next time you see a grandparent that has had the both fortunate and the had to take their grandchildren in, shake their hand. Because, and I'm not telling you this because I want your sympathy or mercy or anything. I'm just telling you this because sometimes I wonder, God, can I take this? You know, I think, Lord, my wife and I are both of an age where I thought we could go somewhere on a vacation or something and just live out our lives and holding our hands and in a rocking chair somewhere. But listen to me, young people, listen to this, and it really, really takes this to heart. Whatever you do, and if those consequences are ill-favored towards you, it is just not only you that suffers, but it's everybody else. Because the reason why I'm saying that, there was a lady that I met, that we met, that because of drugs and because of something the state came in and took these four children away from this young man and woman. And the judge took those children and put those children in foster care and denied this lady to ever see her grandchildren again. I mean, and they sent them plumb out of state. And I hope I'm not, Brother Smith, am I getting off track here? If I am, I'll stop. Oh, I will. I'm just trying to say some things that it kind of hurts, you know, when you think that all of these children, these little children, is without their mothers and daddies. But anyway, I just wanted to say those words because I feel like I'm fortunate with the children that I'm taking care of, and pray for us. We really need it. We really need your prayers, because sometimes I feel like, God, am I up to this? Am I up to doing what you're asking me to do? Because sometimes I think, Lord, help me. Help me not to do things right. You know, I think, Lord, if I can just get these grandchildren to hear about God and to want to serve God, it's worth all of it. It's worth everything. It's worth the life. You know, even though sometimes I feel like I've had to give up everything that I wanted to do in life. And I thank God, if I don't do anything else but raise these children up to where that they can find good husbands and wives and learn to stay in the body of Christ and to stay there and get established, it would be worth it all. Don't you understand? And so just I feel like though sometimes that I can't hardly bear it. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But at the same time, I appreciate God. I appreciate His touches. And I appreciate His touch in my life. Because God has been good to me. He has never done me wrong. And He has always done me right. Always. And so, just pray for me that God can give us the strength to carry on. You know. Anyway, I'll get down from here. I love God, and I appreciate this young people's service. Pray for us.
Say, well, that's just like heaven on earth. And I heard Brother Smith talking one Sunday. He said, this is where heaven's going to be. Well, I'm in heaven right now. Because I've been gone, it'll be 2 months and I'll be gone a year. It's been a fast journey. And I could complain, but what difference does it make? Because you know what? I've had God on my side. I know who my Savior is. He's the keeper of every situation. And I appreciate Him and love Him and adore Him for it all. It's been amazing. It's wonderful to be here and feel the Spirit, to hear that beautiful band. Let me tell you, when you go someplace that you haven't been home for a year and it's different, you come back, let me tell you, you would even get up and shout just probably about every service. And lift your hands and praise the Lord because, you ought to be thankful that you've got a place that people do praise and worship the Lord, and you've got a pastor to teach and lead you and guide you. And that song that Sister Lynette sung Wednesday night, I've been on the mountain, I've been in the valley, but you know, if we didn't have the valley, we wouldn't appreciate the mountaintop, getting on the mountaintop. And I could say I've been in the valley, but I really haven't, because the Lord has kept me. He's kept me so wonderfully. He's kept me encouraged, and talking about getting on your knees, I've been on my knees for quite a few months praying. He'll keep you. Let me tell you what, God can take you places that you'd never think that you'd ever go. He took us to our knees for a reason. And when I say knees, not literally, He can jerk you around. I started saying something else, but I won't. But you know what? That's part of the judgment, I guess, the tribulations that we go through. And I've always been taught, Brother Tucker used to tell us to take it with the right spirit and have the right attitude, because if you don't, you may have to go through it again or something to that situation. And I don't want to go back through all that I've ever gone through to get where I'm at right now. And I certainly appreciate these, this morning in the Bible study and today in the service. It's been wonderful. It's wonderful to see all your beautiful faces and to feel your love. And I do desire your prayers because I do have a goal. I hope the Lord's in it. And y'all just pray for me.
Well, I'm thankful to be here. I haven't been up in a long time. I wanted to thank my grandparents for raising me. I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for them. I love them a lot, and I love Brother Smith and the church.
I'm thankful to be here, and I'm thankful for Brother and Sister Smith, and I'm thankful for my grandparents.
I'm going to be very brief. I had some things today that I wanted to say, but I got to thinking they're too controversial, so some things, I guess, are better left unsaid, so I'll stay away from what I had on my mind. But last week, I woke up, and I had a good night's sleep, and I was planning on coming down here. And so after I'd been up a few minutes, I realized I didn't have any energy. I didn't have the energy to shower. I didn't have the energy to drive down here. So anyway, I'm thankful that because of my sister and her husband, I can thank them for being here today, because I was going to have to mow Friday and it was real hot. The last time I mowed, I was fatigued for 3 days. So I'm glad I made it today. And a week ago Thursday, I reached a milestone. I turned 70. So Brother Smith said, when you're 70, you're old. And so I guess that's true, because a year ago I could do 30 push-ups. Now I do good to do 10. So I guess it's true that you're old when you're 70. But, you know, they have all kinds of advice on how to prolong your life and exercise and keep your mind active and eat plenty of fiber. But there are rules and there are exceptions to the rules. I have a neighbor of mine, his wife died about a year and a half ago, and he'll be 88 this month, and he's blind. So his wife used to take him to eat pizza. Now he depends on me to take him to eat pizza. So on Monday night, his sister will be 91 in October. She drives from about 6 miles north of Conway to eat pizza. And her mind is good. She doesn't have to use a cane. And she breaks all the rules. She drinks hardly any water. She lives on coffee and junk food. She told her doctor, said, I live on junk food. And he said, well, as long as you get some exercise, that's not too bad. And she walks half a mile a day, four times a week. So pretty good for a 91-year-old woman. But I sure am not excited about politics, but I did watch Bill Clinton speak, because he does have charisma, and he's kind of like the Elvis Presley of politicians. I mean, he had the crowd on his feet about six times, and so he is a wonderful speaker. But I'm not planning on voting. But you know, we're living in momentous times. We don't know what could happen between now and the election. You know, our government has staged events before. Back in the 60s, our government staged the Gulf of Tonkin event, where our own, we shot at our own ships, so we'd have an to blame it on the Vietnamese so we could start the Vietnamese War. So since President Obama is not too, his popularity is down, we could have a staged event between now and the election that so that he would be portrayed as a leader, but it's not certain, but it could happen. And so Max Kaiser, he's pretty good on the economy, and I hope he's wrong, but he said between now and next April, we'll have a crash that will make, we'll have a downturn in the economy that will make 2008 seem like it was minor, so I hope he misses on that. And he also says we're close to a civil war. I hope he misses it on that. He said it's going to be a civil war between the haves and the have-nots, and so anything is possible. We're living in momentous times, and you know, there's a man in Conway, he's older than me, and he has a column in the paper every Friday. Sometimes it's pretty entertaining, sometimes it's not, but in his column a week ago Friday, he said in the last 25 years, he's read the Bible through 25 times, so that's pretty good for a man that's not even the body of Christ. I've read it through about five or six times, but the more I read it, the more I want to know about it, but I'm glad I could make it today. Sometimes I just don't have the energy, or getting older and things are changing, but it's good to be here today.
Well, I just want to stand tonight and say how thankful I am and for the great service we've had so far. And I was sitting in my seat earlier in the service, and I was thinking about how Jaron had got up and had said something about that poem that Nana used to read in church. And as Mom, you know, I was hoping Mom would have it, and she did. She got up and, you know, told the poem. And I know for me, different people, you know, different verses in the Bible or different sayings or different poems or whatnot will touch them more than others to different people. And I was sitting there thinking how that the part where it talks about how that all the other vessels got to get into the flame and they all came out right. They all were able to stand the heat. And I know that, you know, maybe it's just the person I am, but I don't like to be left out. I don't like to be the person that, you know, I can't do it. You know, I can't do it, but y'all can go do it. And, you know, a lot of times I run into that problem because of just an age difference or whatever the case may be. And, you know, I don't want that to be the problem I have in the kingdom of God, to where everybody else is able to take the heat and they can keep on going in their life or whatever trials come, but how that I can't take it. So God just has to keep on working with me and keep on breaking me down over and over and over again, to where I'm not able to stand up on my own two feet anymore, and I'm not able to be able to withstand the trials of the world or the tests or whatever comes my way. And, you know, God just always has to be there, right there with me, and I'm not able to stand on my own, and I can't take it. And, you know, as you see other people that have trials or tests and how that, you know, they have that story at the end of their life, how that, you know, I was able to resist this or that or whatever, and how that I was able to make it through that trial. And I don't want to be at the end of my life, whenever that is, and I don't want to be able to look back on my life and the choices I've made, and, you know, the only thing I can say is, well, I was never able to overcome them. You know, I was never able to strive above it. You know, I tried, you know, I did the best I could, but I never could get to a place in God or get into a place of life to where I could get the answers or, you know, the opportunity to rise above it. And I just, as that went on, and, you know, as the songs that have been sung, and Sister Cindy's song she sang was, I really, really loved it. And I've heard that song before, and, you know, it touches me every time just to think about how that no matter what you are going through, and even if you're not able to overcome it right then, you know, he'll help you through it, though. You know, he'll help you, he'll break you back down, and he'll try to, you know, mold you again. And that's what God does for us. He helps us through the stages of our life whenever we're going through this or that. But it also comes down to the other fact of I have to be willing. You know, I have to get it to a place in my life, and have to have enough faith and enough doctrine and enough steadfastness that I can take the heat. You know, it goes both ways. Yeah, God will help me through this and through that, but I have to be able to do my part, because, you know, if God does everything for me and I never can, I always have to just keep on being broke down and going through trials to be able to keep me, you know, broke down, or to keep me from being prideful or this or that, you know, it won't, at the end of the day, it won't matter, because I won't be able to get to a place in my life to where I can withstand it. And I just want to stand up tonight and say that it takes my part too. You know, I have to be able to get to where I can withstand the heat and let God mold my life. I'm just thankful to be here.
People a praise. I, you know, what I've noticed is in the young people is it's their attitude. You know, Brother Linger once said your attitude determines your altitude, and you can tell, you know, your speech kind of tells on you, doesn't it? And so when I see young men and young ladies too get up and talk about, you know, they want to do this, they have that desire to do that, and to live for God and endure, you know, suffering and there's good and bad, you know, and try to count things good and not, and then at the same time not take a militant attitude about things or a self-righteous attitude. That encourages me, you know, because I see Brother Smith talked about the young people holding a level of spirituality in this church. That's, you know, they're going to one day be the foundation of this church, and to do that, to keep the world out, you know, that's and so, but it takes an attitude, doesn't it? A good attitude to do those things, and because I'm listening to Brother Zach talk tonight, and I can see he considers a lot of things. You know, and so to, you know, it's kind of like a remember that book that In His Steps, you know, and you know, what would Jesus do? And that's what I'm seeing in the young people today. I think they're considering, what would Jesus do? And I'm thankful for that. There you go.
Well, I know I don't get up that much at all. I'm a really nervous speaker, so yeah, I'm really shaking. I recently went to Cisco, Texas a couple weeks ago and to help them build their church and stuff. And we didn't really have church service, but it felt like a service. They were so kind and very spiritual, and it really touched me going, and I'm really glad I get to go, and I'm thankful for being here.
I'm glad I get to be here tonight, and I'm very thankful for the services that we've had today, and it was just a wonderful service this morning, and then tonight as well. Just the songs that we started with tonight really, really touched me. You know, we talk about youth and doing our part and everything, and it begins with asking the Lord to use us to come in and take control of our lives, you know, and I'm thankful that we're able to see that. Not everyone knows that. Not everyone has the chance to be used of the Lord. You know, it's a great privilege to be able to come and to speak and to testify and to sing and play. It is a privilege, you know, and I'm very thankful for that. And it just kind of progressed, you know, as the service went on. In fact, in my mind, the whole day just progressed. You know, we were singing about how this morning we started with the Lord not passing us by, and then the song that Brother Michael sang, there was the part that just kept going over in my mind was about how he's about the I was bound but now set free. And I was thinking, there are so many things in this world that can bind us, there are so many things in our personal life that can bind us, you know, but through the Lord we are set free, you know. And then we come here tonight and we were saying, okay, Lord, I'm free, so here I am. You've made me free. Now do with me as you please. I am yours. I'm no longer bound by the world, but I will be your servant, Lord. You know, and that those were just kind of the thoughts that kept going over in my mind, and how, yes, I have made up my mind. And it is shaky sometimes, you know. And there are things that come against us, and you know, but whatever happens, I've made up my mind, and I want to follow on with the Lord. And then this song that was just saying, just it really touched me, because you know, there's so many times that we go along in life, you know, and yes, we know that we're free, and yes, we know that we're in the body and everything like that, but you get going in life in your daily routine, and you just, you know, Lord, I don't think I can take anymore, you know. And I'm just so thankful for the reassurance that we do have a reassurance tonight. We know where to call. When we were down front praying, I was just thinking, I know who to call on in my time of need. I know where to go. I know who I can rely on and who I can depend on, because he is our Savior. And I'm so thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful for our opportunities as youth, and you know, there's others who have testified. You know, we know it's not just, you know, just the youth talking tonight, but you know, the testimonies tonight have really encouraged me. I'm thankful for this place. You know, Caleb had, when he got up and talked, he was talking about thankfulness for the body. I'm thankful tonight for the body, you know, and I want to do my part and take my part and allow the Lord to use me and everything. And I know I'm not perfect right now, and I may have a scratch and every in this clay, but if I just keep working, I believe that, you know, the Lord, he'll make us what we should be. I'm thankful tonight.
Glad to have Brother and Sister Coles with us tonight, and Aaron back again. We appreciate them, and I'd like to mention, I appreciate this service tonight. Good. Appreciate when we have these youth services, and of course we want to keep it in the channel of the being for the youth. And so I really appreciate the Spirit of the Lord and all the things that they're saying. I'm thankful that they're willing to work in a service. And they're saying some good things that are, you know, and appreciate the way that they put them together. Here's a deal, I would say, be for female. I don't know if it's anybody's here tonight, but it was showed up since this morning. So it's. I'd like to announce a singing for October the 6th, Saturday night. What's wrong with that? Is that a time? What was your, huh? Don't pay no attention to you? Well, I mean, you do help me get out of trouble sometimes, so I always pay attention to you. Huh? On that week, on that night? All right. Well, the next week won't work. I'll be in Massachusetts. 12. Saturday. No, we could do it on the 12th, October the 12th. Does that interfere with anybody's plans? It does? You are important. Could you bring them to the singing? No. Well, let's just look. The campground is the 27th through the 30th, so. And but we could have it, well, I don't know. Let me look at it, and I'll try to get it announced. I wanted to put it off a little ways. Unless we had it the weekend before. No, I can't do that. I'll be in New York. Y'all are a difficult group of people to work with sometimes. What's the weekend before the 5th? That's camp meeting. No, that's November. Yeah. October the 12th, the 19th of October, I'll be in Haverhill. The 26th. We could do it the 26th of October. Is that a Saturday? Somebody look that up for me. 27th of October. What about that, everybody? 27th of October. All right. October 27th. Singing in Little Rock. Gospel singing, 7 o'clock. Huh? 27th. Uh-huh. Then I want to keep you reminded that we're having a Dominican youth trip. Brother and Sister Stewart and Brother and Sister Boyd are coordinating that and coordinating fundraisers for it. It's going to cost about $1,000 per person, per child to go. And we're still trying to figure out an exact date for it. And about what we've decided to do, there's, of course, all these numbers, you know, gets rearranged as time goes on. But the Wichita Church have got a lot of people going. They said about 50. That may adjust probably more down than up, but I'm sure they will have a good number of people going, not just young people, but I mean, it's for everybody can go, but I want the young people to go. I think if you young people want to really have a good time and see something that is, it'd be a life-changing experience for your whole lifetime. If you've never been in a foreign country, and the thing is to go to a foreign country where there's people that, I mean, these people aren't bashful and shy. They'll reach out and love you, and you'll find they got the spirit of the body, and they've got the same vision that you have. And then there's some things that I'm planning to take you on some little, I'll say, tourist attractions, some places I think you'll enjoy going and being in services in some of the area churches in the areas we'll be going in. And then we'll have a band clinic where I want all the band members to take their instruments, and I hope everybody will try to find maybe, you know, an instrument to take with you that you can leave over there. Maybe you can find something in a garage sale or used or an old one you've got in the closet somewhere. Take it and give it to some youth, you know. And what I would like to do is have a day of a band clinic. And then during the meeting, the band will play, and they'll get an opportunity to see a body of Christ band in their services. Of course, we've had that over there in our general meetings where the Haitian band from Haiti would come over and help us out, and different people that plays in the band have went over, and we've had, but they've never, you know, we've never seen it on the level that I'm talking about, and I want to encourage them to, you know, get their bands start. They've tried to start them, but it's difficult a little bit. So I want to encourage them in that area, and then we'll have like a Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday service, and we'll come home on a Monday, probably. We can adjust that if, but I'm hoping we can, you know, leave like on a, be gone a whole week, just about a whole week if we can. And so be praying about it, yes, you need to get your passports. Even if you can't go on this trip, you don't know. Maybe God will make a room. Sister Lynette has passport applications. You can fill them out, go to Walgreens and take your passport picture, and then you can write a check and take it to the post office and send it in to get a passport. You'll get a 10-year passport. And you'll be glad you went on this trip if you go. I think it's something the Lord will bless. So be praying about it. And then what we're going to try to do is find the dates that the Wichita church and our church can coordinate together that we could go, that our young people would be out of school. Okay. Well, we need to get them. Of course, I don't know if we've got any. Do we have any young people in Pulaski schools? Okay. Y'all know when they get out of school? 28th of May. Okay. And the first thing we got to find out is who all's going, you know, who's planning on going, and then we'll try to accommodate the dates. The other thing I'd like to find out is spring break. I'd like to see if it's possible for us to go, if our spring breaks would coordinate with Wichita. I think all their children go to, I think almost every one of them go to church schools. So, you know, I don't know. We just have to talk to them and work on the dates. We're right now we're talking about probably, you know, the last week of May or our first week of June or somewhere in that neighborhood. I would like for us to do it before July or August because it's hotter over there then. However, it's not as hot over there as it is over here at that time of year. But Brother Pryor, did you go? What month did we go? When did we go? In January. And it was even, we was even hot then, wasn't it? Kind of. I mean, it's fairly comfortable, but you'll pull your coats off if you wear coats. In fact, I don't know why yet. I hadn't figured it out yet, but I wear my coat to church over there, and the first thing I do is pull it off and hang it on the chair. I keep telling myself you need to quit taking this with you. But just, you know, those people over there, some of the pastors, some of them will wear coats. Of course, I notice when I take mine off, they take theirs off. So they're just probably waiting. But I have told them before, I'm burning up. I tell them, I'm hot. Aren't y'all hot? And they say, well, Brother Smith, this is how we live. This is not hot to us. Told Brother Green he had in his house, the doors were shut and the windows were shut and in the living room and the dining room is hot. I said, aren't y'all hot? And they said, no. I thought, let's open these doors and let a breeze blow through here, you know. Now they said, well, this is just normal to us. And they don't have air conditioners in their church, but I will guarantee you, you'll get involved in their service enough it won't bother you. They do have fans, and they do leave the doors and windows open. But it'll be an interesting trip for the young people. I hope that the young people in this church can go to that. So we're going to keep working on it. And we're working on ways of raising money. You might think, well, ain't no way I can go. I can't never get... We're hoping we can raise enough money. You may have to work some in the fundraising to help raise the money for you to go. But I think if the Lord will help us, and I know He will, that we'll be able to raise money, the money to pay for at least the biggest part of it, if not all of it. So be praying about it. And I know the Lord will bless you. Amen. All right. Y'all want Brother Coles to sing a song before we go home? Figured you would. Aaron, you sing? You hadn't started yet? Well, we want you to get to starting on getting in this and getting to be a part of it. I seen him, you know, I thought maybe he's a dead fish, but he did move up here tonight. So I thought, well, I seen the gills working just a little bit. Seemed like he's starting to get a little life of God working in him. So appreciated that. Yeah, we'll get him loosened up before this is over with. All right, Brother Coles, you've been drafted. Nobody knows who this is? Huh? Whose? Hannah? It's a bracelet. It's full of little black balls hanging all the way around it. Brooklyn, this belongs to you? It's Hannah's, but she don't want to come get it. Okay. All right, I don't know. All right.
Would that be a blessing?
Yeah. Praise the Lord. I've had so many different songs running through my mind during this service, and I had one kind of picked out, but I think the one that Sister Cindy and Brother Mike was just right on the bullseye. It was just perfect. I don't think mine would have been bullseye. It might have been off it. But that was a beautiful song. I love the words to that. It just ministered to me. And, you know, in this life, we all need God's hand to help us, to mold us, to fashion us, to make us what we need to be and what we ought to be. I know I'm a work in progress. When you see a sign that says men working and you don't see any men working anywhere, doesn't that just bother you when you see a sign out there that says men working and there ain't nobody out there? Yeah, road work ahead, taxpayers' money, and all that stuff. But you know what? I'm a work in progress. And God's still working on me. Amen. He's still working on me. Constantly. Because I need to be worked on. I had never reached the area where God's through working on me. Because I hadn't attained to that. But I'm trying. I'm striving to let God do what He wants to be. And what He wants to do in us. Amen. And to tell you the truth, I'm trying to find a song in my mind. And you got one? All I can think about is this old song, so we're just going to sing it. Hit a key. I don't know these things. It's black ones and white ones here. another one. Glory, that's a little bit better. Hallelujah. Praise God. Take a little higher. That's probably right where you were before. Go back down. Hallelujah. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet, there's an unfinished part. And I'll be made perfect just according to His will, fashioned by the Master's loving hand. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. Oh, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. And loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. Oh, there really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet, there's an unfinished part. And I'll be made perfect just according to His way, fashioned by His Master's loving hand. Oh, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Oh, it took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working.
Appreciate this day that we've had. I feel like I've been to church, lifted up, and I'm encouraged. And keep praying for Sister Nona Atkins. Her there really are seriously looking to move here, so we want to keep them in our prayers. It's always, you know, making that big of a move from all the way from Los Angeles, California. And then, Sister Wilson, are you having surgery this week? Back surgery Tuesday. What hospital? St. Vincent's. All right, we need to keep Sister Wilson in your prayers. Tuesday morning, when they're going to do it? Tuesday morning? So keep her in your prayers, and I'll get with Brother Coles. I want us to go to Glenwood real soon on a Saturday and have service there, fellowship together with them. And I'll get with him and we'll get a date set for it. I'd like to go this Saturday, but I don't think I'll be here, so I've got to get that worked out. We'll try to do it as soon as possible. Wouldn't you like to go to Glenwood and be in church with them? Yes. Amen. We appreciate their fellowship, and fellowship is, you got to have at least two in the boat to have fellowship. So we want to get in the boat with them on their end where they're rowing. Amen. All right. Any announcements I've left out? Anything I need to say before we close? Let's just give God a praise for a good day. Oh, God, thank you for your goodness, Lord. Your blessings, your presence.